We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier.
The Patriots honestly would be better off if Belichick was taking a leave of absence right now and Brady was there.
So I want to thank Tom Brady, and I want to thank Gronk. The public always says, if I was you, I would play for free.
Belichick was starting to push the narrative. Maybe this should be the last year for Tom Brady. That word got back to Brady.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
Let's be honest with Marloni. If it wasn't for me, average.
Taking credit for this?
Yeah, I'm like best thing that's happened to Lou's career in the last year or so.
50% is the whole the tension issue, like the bill, the Guerrero. 25% is contract.
How much is family?
25.
So let's do this. Hold on. No, I'm not taking a break yet.
Oh, you but, shut up.
Lou, you know this is a pattern. Once you make sense to him,
you're his not response making any sense.
You're speaking for me, which drives me insane.
Let me this
I
is
try
like,
to help
if
out.
I was speaking like you, I'd talk right here.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
He's doctoring up the pie again. I can see it. It's all scratches and all cross-outs and stuff like
that. Rip that pie apart.
A big game tonight at the TD Garden. It is Game 5. Many think that Game 5s are the most important in a series. Certainly, I think they are when you're 2-2, because this will, you know, sway the series and give somebody the opportunity to be on the verge of clinching the playoff series and moving on to the next series. And we all know the Celtics have been great at home.
They have.
And we've talked a lot about it. And we've talked about the kids and we've talked about the role players. And there are some people out there, like the guy who has made your career or certainly made the last couple of years, Kyle Draper, who thinks that Al Horford is well above average. Do you see the T-shirt he was wearing here yesterday?
No, what is it?
He had average Al Horford, then the average was crossed out, and it was like amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Everybody
that's
can try
for real?
It.
That's real?
Amazing. People can
it was in that font like My Pony, you know, or Unicorn.
You're wasting your time trying to come up with a better nickname than average.
Isn't it interesting?
It's never going to happen.
I'm looking at the differences here, thanks to Sean Devaney, one of the best.
I just tweeted out the shirt, by the way. You can see the shirt now.
It's amazing, but right? And it isn't in like My Pony font or something. It really looks kind of goofy. He's a Sporting News NBA guy. He's in town for the series. The guy that has the biggest difference of home and away turns out to be Al Horford.
It really is an amazing little chart, because he kind of first like highlights. I tweeted it out. He highlights like the top two discrepancies like in each category. So it's points. So it's Al, who's 19.7, 12 in the road. Terry Rozier, 20 on the road, 13.3 at home. Those are the two biggest ones. But Al's also up there in field goal percentage. He's shooting 60% at home, 48 on the road. But, yeah, when you look at it, the two things that really stand out is that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
No, the kids haven't been bad.
Not an issue at all. And you can talk about Brown, and I think that second half, that fourth quarter in particular, really saved him in Cleveland the other night, because I don't think he was great. I don't think Tatum was great. But the numbers, like, these guys are, you know, by the numbers.
Well,
we always make a mistake when we just look at the numbers and box score and watch a game. But it's the two kids that have been more consistent than anybody else.
Yeah, but let's remember that those two kids are the ones they're relying on to score every single night. And I agree with you. They have not been nearly as good.
Well, Tatum's got 19.4 on the road, 16.9 at home.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown, 18.6 at home, 16.9 on the road.
Yeah.
So Tatum's scoring more on the road.
No, just the opposite with Tatum, right?
Yeah,
Tatum
he's scoring more on the road.
On the road.
Yeah
he's higher on the road.
Yeah.
Right, but overall their play has not been as good. But Al Horford, I hate to say it, let's go back to Kyle Draper's shirt. He is amazing at home. He's right. In home games, he's amazing. So if I'm Kyle Draper, I go back and wear the average Al jersey tonight or T-shirt. The amazing one tonight.
Yes.
But when
he's
playing game six, I put the average Al shirt back on again.
Tell everybody about your T-shirt now.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and if I'm looking at these numbers, Marcus Smart, he's shooting from 3-point range, which we know he loves to chuck.
Right.
24% at home.
That gets worse.
He's 14% in the road.
24% is a good day.
That's
It's a good
14.3 on the road.
He's got the two lowest three-point field goal percentage numbers because even Terry Rozier is 25.9 on the road. But Marcus Smart's got the two lowest, worst.
I'm not surprised. I mean, yeah, you just got to look at, you know, Monday night's game. And what was he, one for five or something like that?
But if you look at the net rating of all of them, like even Jaylen Brown, at home he's 11.9. On the road, he's a minus 7.5. And Jason Tatum, 12.8 at home. That's a plus. A minus 4.4 away. But you're right. When you look at Marcus Smart, or you look at Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart is a plus 15.3 at home, a minus 16.5 on the road. That's like 32 point swing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And then you got Marcus Morris, a 12.8 at home, 15.6 out on the road. It's unbelievable. It's frightening how bad it is. So I feel confident they're going to be good tonight. I feel confident that Jaylen Brown will come out and have a terrific first half. We'll get them off to a good start. But the only thing I think we have to worry about is people are calling out LeBron James. Did you know
that because he's slow.
Did you know that he's the slowest guy in the NBA?
This is the dumbest little take I've ever seen.
Is this incredible? So this is basing what we're seeing in the playoffs. The slowest player in the series, according to, you know, one of these geeks' little analytics thing, is one LeBron James. James's slower feet and steady hand remain in complete control of these series and these Eastern Conference playoffs, but just don't make the mistake of telling him that at 33, he's slowing down. So somebody actually did. And apparently the only...
He's not happy.
No, the only player... ready
he's
for this?
So uptight about this.
The only player slower than him of the four teams in the conference finals in this analytical thing that they do is Zaza Pachulia. I'm faster than Zaza is, okay? So he was pissed. So he saw the...
So they told him about it.
They told him about it. He said, quote, I wish we had the audio.
I know.
It would be
that's
so
all right,
good.
Just say it. He'll
that's
bleep it out.
The dumbest bleep I've ever heard, he told The Athletic after his 44 points. That tracking bleep bleep can kiss my ass.
I don't think I bleeped the word bull.
Yeah.
Bull bleep. There you go.
Bleep bleep.
The slowest guy? Get out of here.
Well,
tell him to track how tired I am after the game. Track that bleep. I'm number one in the NBA on how tired I am after the game.
Oh, sure you are, LeBron. Nobody puts out more effort and energy than you. You're the most tired out of all of them because so much is demanded from you. You need to do everything, LeBron. How's your energy level? Do you need a Snickers bar? Do you need an energy bar?
But nobody believes that he is the slowest player in the league. It is about conserving energy, and he walks when he has to. Because he plays so many minutes. You think he's the slowest player in the league?
Okay, you know how useless this statistic is?
Like, why would you even come up with that stat?
Who do you think the fastest player is in this round of the two teams?
Terry Rozier.
No.
Who's like a little guy that probably running around
runs
like
all
a,
over the place.
McConnell, the kid from Philly.
No, this series.
The Cavaliers
Marcus
and the
Smart.
Celtics. Nope.
Terry Rozier.
No. Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, sure. He's flying around.
Who?
Around the court.
Has Jordan Clarkson had any impact in this series?
No, but he's fast.
He's got to run back and forth. Yeah, look how much effort he's putting out.
But you're right. This pissed off LeBron to no
end.
He took
this personal.
Right, and to the point where he dragged it out to saying, I'm the tiredest guy at the end because I'm busting my ass more than anybody else on the
floor. To me, that's the biggest sign of who he really is or what a dink he is sometimes. It's like, you know, forget about just taking it for what it is or you know, dispelling it, just saying, you know what, those things don't really, there's a lot of things those things do not take in account for. But no, you know what, how about you do this? How about you figure out who's the most tired is? It's me. I'm tired. I'm more tired.
I work so hard. I'm the number one most tiredest guy in the league.
If you were going to rank
all the guys.
Nobody's
ever as tired as me.
Nobody runs harder than I do.
I'm tired. I want to go home.
Oh, my God. It's funny. Like, as much, every now and then, I get a little bit more respect for him. Then he does this.
Sure.
You know what? It's like you're just admitting that you can't deal with somebody being better. Even though the obvious is we all know that little survey was stupid. It's baloney, and it doesn't mean anything. Really, like you can't find somebody that's going, you know what? That's an interesting metric right there. I'm going to have to take this
into
account.
Well, we bring up the discussion of the greatest players of all time, we're going to sit there and say, yeah, but he's a slow.
Yeah, you know, he never put out any. He never really tried either. You know, Jordan, he tried. Yeah.
That's
Magic,
a lot,
he
man.
Tried.
Jordan wasn't slow.
Oh, they would never sit there and trot up and down the court.
So stupid.
Basketball is 50% effort 90% of the time. The only time you go full speed is when you're taking a shot or making a layup.
All right, so I heard a lot of this last night. People were throwing it back and forth. They were basically ripping Brad Stevens. They don't like what he's doing. They don't understand why Rozier is getting caught up on these switches on LeBron, and they're sitting there going, and Brad's got to come up with something tonight.
He's
got to come
stitches.
Up with a, oh, watch tonight.
Scheme and what. And I'm sitting there going, if the players don't go out there and play, what the hell is he going to come up with? I'll guarantee you that they were working the other night as the game was underway to stop these switches with Rozier. And by the way, when you go back and look at them, there was no reason on many of them that Rozier had to switch. I almost think he was doing it on his own because he's programmed. When they do the switch,
yeah,
you
switch.
Go over and cover the other guys. We switch. He wasn't seeing the game.
All right, so they'll make an adjustment there.
Right.
Right?
Right. They're going to tell him, this is when you do it, and this is when you don't.
All right, so what do you think LeBron's going to do?
LeBron's going to figure it out.
Well,
what
they
you're
make
doing,
adjustments,
and he gets around.
How we're going to abuse it. You know, in another way.
Well, it's the thing we said before the series began when we were sitting there giving the check marks, and I have trouble giving the check mark to Brad Stevens as the coach, not because I don't think he's a better coach than Ty Lue, but the problem is that LeBron's the coach, and he's on the floor, and he can change up on the fly where Brad Stevens has got to wait to go to timeouts and wait to try to, you know, get his players to change up on the fly, and we saw how successful that was the other night. It didn't work, but this whole idea of starting Marcus Smart, does that make any sense to anybody?
No.
I see maybe more Marcus Smart on LeBron. I would give you that.
Well, what makes less sense is the theory that I'm, you know, that to start Aaron Baines, so Cleveland won't put Tristan Thompson on Al Horford.
That makes no sense.
Like you put Aaron Baines in there, you can put a guy in the lineup to maybe alter the way you play defense. But how is putting Aaron Baines going to dictate what Tyronn Lue is going to do with Tristan Thompson?
Right.
I'm just saying, how does that work?
You can't take that.
How do you control that side of the court? So all of a sudden, Baines is in, so now he's like, oh, we can't put Tristan Thompson on Al Horford, even though he does a great job and he slows him down. Instead, we're going to switch? No. Right. Kevin Love's on Baines, because what's the Celts going to do? Try to abuse that matchup? Hey, let's feed Aaron Baines, because he's got Kevin Love on him?
No, and just the opposite.
Tristan Thompson's going to stay on Al Horford because he's doing a good job on him.
And Love can take him out into the perimeter, and it takes away some of the stuff that Baines does.
Defensively,
you
can help because defensively you can put Baines on Thompson and control the boards a little bit, and Al can cover, you know, Kevin Love. But the other end of the court, why would Cleveland change if they think they got an answer for Al Horford?
I would not change my lineup. If I were Brad Stevens, I would not change my lineup. I would go with the same guys and say, guys, we're at home. This is where we feel good. We got that crowd.
Hey, they're
going to love
you.
Us.
Yeah, high fives for everybody.
They're going to love us. Okay, and go it that way, and then play it out as the game goes along and see what happens, because somebody's going to get themselves into foul trouble. We've seen it in the series when you're trying to defend LeBron, and I still think the best thing you can do with LeBron is change up with different people continuously. Make him constantly have to think. He's a quick thinker. He's apparently slow-footed, but he's
again,
a quick thinker.
The nice try, but it doesn't matter.
No,
honestly, it doesn't matter.
No, it's real.
It doesn't matter who's covering.
And I think what you
but
see
I don't
is
take Rozier's offense off the floor.
No, not at all. But they scramble, right? When they switch and Rozier's got him, they try to scramble and try to make up for it and try to send a guy over there and let Rozier run around and find an empty guy.
Yeah.
But no, you got a double team because you're at home, and let him kick it over to Korver or J.R. Smith. I mean, you know. There's only so much you can do. I mean, there's no solution to LeBron James. He's a great player. So rather than him just back down Terry Rozier and take his points, and I heard Brad talking about how, you know, we still got to guard the perimeter. If he gets 2 points, so be it. But I would rather sit there and say, you know what, you're at home. Let's see if J.R. Smith can show up.
Yeah, I would take that.
If they start hitting their shots, then maybe you got to make an adjustment. But I'd get the ball out of his hand and see if the other guys can beat you.
And the whole, all the other guys that are the other role players, you're talking about a guy like Kyle Korver. Okay, let's see them miss their first two shots. Honestly, because that's going to be the difference, because LeBron's going to get his. Done. Don't even worry about it. Switch whatever you want. Put multiple guys on him. It doesn't matter. None of them can stop him. It's the Kyle Korvers and the J.R. Smiths of the world and Tristan Thompson is of the world. George Hill, Nance, all those guys.
Yeah, so I agree with Lou that what you want to do with him is, and you did it earlier in the series, and that was that you put that delayed double on him. So the guy comes over. Once he puts the ball to the floor, boom, that guy's coming over from the weak side. And you force him to kick it back out. And let's see if J.R. Smith can do it. Let's see if Korver can
do
it.
And if they do,
then you're in trouble.
It's all adjustments left and right.
Yeah, you got some problems.
You have some issues there.
But do you feel more comfortable about those guys maybe not making their shots, or do you feel more comfortable? I heard some people say this. Well, let LeBron get his 40 points. By the way, there was a huge difference in the 44 he got the other night versus the 42 he got in game two here at the Garden. 42 in game two were all outside shots, if you remember.
Yep.
He got all inside stuff the other night. Inside stuff you don't want. That's
no,
not good.
Because that's also going to the line if he misses
correct.
A lot.
Correct.
And as we said before, game. I always felt with LeBron James, when he's hitting the outside shot like he did in game two, like it's almost impossible to cover him. As he's hitting, when he's draining threes left and right, because what you saw the other day, taking it to the basket, backing guys in the right, that's uncoverable. He's just too big. He's too strong. And he'll get to the line. He'll do whatever he wants. You almost want to see him, okay, maybe his shot is off. Take the three. Because we come to the lane, we can't stop you.
Yep. And I'm also going to work his ass at the other end. Because you had 3 days off between the games, last two games, right? Between three and four. Right. Three and four, right? Is that right?
Two and three.
Well, I'll tell you, the other factor is this Jaylen Brown and Kyle Korver matchup. I forget who we did that before. Was it Rozier? As far as like the pep talk and how it goes? You know, like, oh, Jaylen. you can't cover Kyle? Do you need help? Want us to switch? Who'd you rather?
Kyle Korver is basically regulating on the Celtics.
Oh, you can't get by Kyle? Okay, what should we do? Should we do switches? You want to George Hill? Because you can't get by Kyle Korver?
You're freezing a block.
He's 37
shot?
Years old.
Oh, he's got hops.
He's white. You can't get by him? Wow. He's blocking your stuff. You can't beat him?
You sound like Jalen Rose now.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll try to find a different matchup for you if you can't beat Kyle Korver. Okay?
You know what?
Sound good?
Yeah, just stay on the outside where it's safe. Just shoot the three.
You can't have Kyle Korver dominate that matchup.
No, again, that can't happen. Okay, I get it. Gritty, everybody's readjusting
their
thought process on Kyle Korver. Great shooter, okay? But he is not a shutdown defender. Jaylen Brown, who could jump out of the gym, should never have his shot blocked by Kyle Korver.
Never.
I mean,
never.
The reality was, when you watched that game early on, you know, with Jaylen Brown and Korver, Rozier couldn't go by Hill either.
Right.
I mean, a lot of times, isolation, it went nowhere. Tatum, the same thing with Jeff Green. They had isolation many times, and he's trying to put moves. He's trying to back them down, and it was like great defense. And I'm like, so those three guys, Jeff Green, George Hill, and Kyle Korver, shut out. Like, they were shutting them down defensively. That can't happen. Like, Rozier should be able to go by Hill. I mean, he's fast. And I understand that. But still, Tatum with Jeff Green, Korver and Jaylen Brown, they were in isolation a few times, and they couldn't beat him one-on-one.
I think it all happens tonight. I think there's a huge difference. They'll play with great confidence. They'll come out in the first quarter. I just don't think they're going to be the way they were in game three and four in Cleveland. They're not going to be uptight. And you look at the splits, they're unbelievable. You like to watch Al Horford's game. You go back and look at every single possession.
Night.
I know you do. If you were a betting man tonight, not that you are, Lou, but if you were a betting man, would you not bet that Al Horford has one of those amazing games tonight?
Yep, and then everybody would blow up on Twitter. Yep. What do you think of him now?
And I would say wait till game six and let's see what he does in Cleveland. Because there's a pattern here. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get to some of those phone calls. What do you think the Celtics are going to do tonight? We get to that next.
Keep your head on a swivel.
I swear to God, I'm going to break it in and punch you square in the face and knock you the F out.
It's Ordway, Mike Tyson, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
We made modifications to our anthem policy. We did that this morning after a great deal of discussion. Yesterday, again this morning, it was unanimously adopted by the clubs. Clearly, our objective as a league and to all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We have been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on.
That's Roger Goodell moments ago. And like most things, this one's going to backfire on Roger Goodell as well. So if you missed it, we'll give it to you. All team, all league personnel on the field shall stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. The game operations manual will be revised to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. So if you choose not to stand for the anthem and respect the anthem, you must stay in the locker room or in a similar location off the field until after the anthem has been performed. A club will be fined by the league if its personnel are on the field and do not stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem. What's the over-under here on the Maloney Investments for the first guy that defies this, Lou? Week one, week two, you're going to go to week three? First guy.
I would say if people feel very strongly about it, they will.
Absolutely.
Because that's called a protest.
Right.
That's why you do it, to get noticed. Now, I was looking at Will Brinson on Twitter. He had this, apparently, Goodell. He had said this. Roger Goodell says, if a player comes on the field and kneels, that, as you stated, the NFL will fine the team. And Roger said, and the team will, quote, make their own decisions on how to manage, unquote, any discipline towards the player in question.
We have Roger saying this. Listen to this.
We're going to play the whole question as
well. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
What happens if a player decides to come on the field and decides to kneel nonetheless, despite the policy? That's the first part of the question. Then the second part, the NFLPA has come out and said that it will fight against this policy. What do you say to the union leadership, and why perhaps you didn't better engage the union in striking this compromise?
Well, Jared, anything I have to say to the union, I'll say to them directly, and I do that all the time, so I'll be more than happy to do that, but I will do that to them directly. But there's been incredible engagement with the players on this. We've talked to tens, if not hundreds, of players about this over the last year or so to get their input, to understand their positions, and again, to respect those, as I think was stated here. Your first part of your question was what happens if anyone is on the field and is disrespectful to the anthem or the flag, there would be a fine from the league against the team. The team will have its own work rules, will be consistent with the overall policy, and they will make their own decisions about how to manage that from there on the club level.
That's a safe play by him.
It's not his
hands. So the league is not going to sit there. So the league doesn't look bad. It's the club that looks bad, right? So I say, you know, listen, you got a line, you kneel when you weren't supposed to. I'm just going to fine the club and let the club deal with their own issues and any backlash that is associated with that.
And there will be.
All right, so the Niners take the fine. They pay the fine. The Dallas Cowboys take the fine, pay the fine, and fine the player. So now you get one team handling it different than the other team, right?
Yeah.
Well, then that's just
and
the way
up
it is
to the team.
The fine is the same, but you're right. One team could sit there and say,
the buck.
Right. One team could sit there and say, we're in Dallas. And, you know, people here really respectful of that flag, and we can't have that. This hurts our fan base here. Right. So, therefore, we're going to suspend you for a week, or we're going to do whatever. I guess they can do whatever they want. They're the employer. And in Frisco, they might say, well, it's a little bit more progressive here, and our fan base is kind of supportive of somebody who's taking the knee, so, therefore, we're going to treat it differently. But here's the best one about it is the Players Association is calling Goodell out. And I'm using this loosely, that he's lying, that the league is lying about it. They have just issued a statement. The NFL chose to not consult the union in the development of this new policy. Wait a minute. Didn't we just hear Roger Goodell say that the players have all been consulted about this? This is the NFLPA issuing this statement. The NFL chose to not consult the union in the development of this new policy. NFL players have shown their patriotism through their social activism, their community service in support of our military and law enforcement, and yes, through their protests to raise awareness about the issues they care about. The vote by NFL club CEOs today contradicts the statements made to our player leadership by Commissioner Roger Goodell and the chairman of the NFL's Management Council, John Mara, about the principles, values, and patriotism of our league. Our union will review the new policy and challenge any aspect of it that is inconsistent with the collective bargaining agreement.
Good There's luck. Been incredible engagement with the players on Maybe this. We've so. Talked to tens, if not hundreds, of players.
So the other question I would have,
he's not lying.
But the other thing too is, so
who's he talk to,
if a player they feel like disrespects the flag, is this in writing? Is it kneeling? Like, who decides? And I think, did he talk about this, Paul? Like, who decides what disrespecting the flag is? Is it just kneeling? Is it
Can
sitting?
I give you one? How about putting fist the right air? Fist up
so
in
who,
the air?
Who decides what's disrespecting the flag?
Who's the arbiter of respect for the flag? What would be considered disrespect for the flag and the anthem? And why would the league and the owners kind of willingly attempt to police something that is subjective like this?
Well, I think the general public has a very strong view of what respect for the flag is in that moment. We have language in our policy that talks about that, standing at attention with hats off and focused. And I think the general arbiter will be the clubs and the league, and we'll work with our players and get their viewpoint also.
Too vague.
So the fans know.
Too vague.
So what if you don't put your hand? What if you don't put your hand over your heart?
Right. Well, then Trump will come out and he'll tweet out, "This is disrespectful." I don't see the players putting their right hand over their heart.
Is this a response really? In general, our fans know what disrespect to the flag is.
So based on what city you live in or what team you support, it's like porn. You know it when you see it.
Right,
really? Exactly. Okay, so that's what it is. So you're telling me,
to your point, if raising your right fist during the flag, and then you got what? You got to rely on what? Some people on Twitter tweeting you? Say, because no, we're relying on our fans to know the difference between disrespect and not.
But see, here's the thing. That's an old way of showing some sort of protest. That's old, old school, right? You could actually develop a new one that nobody knows about.
Right.
Stand with your hands on your hips.
Christian,
stand
the problem?
With one hand on your hip. Yeah. Close your eyes.
Whatever.
Whatever
it symbolizes.
Oh, we know what that means. Social, this whole social campaign where this is what we're talking about. When we do this, when we wink twice, and touch our nose or grab our ear, we are disrespecting or somehow trying to send a message.
Here's where the porn example doesn't apply. Because in this case, I think some people are going to see it as porn. And other people are not. We're seeing it politically, the political divide here.
I don't know what you're
saying. So we just gave you we just gave you examples of stuff you could do. And yet, what is the NFLPA saying? No, they're claiming that these players are actually showing their patriotism by expressing their social activism. They're being patriots because they're coming out and they're talking about inequities that are going on in society. They have a different view of it, the players do, than what is considered patriotic by Roger Goodell. And by the way, the president is going to be involved in all of this. He's going to respond. He's going to take it to the next level.
You see what they're doing in
Seattle?
Right. Hey, I can't win this state anyway. See what they're doing in Frisco?
It's the great political divide we have in this country. 50% are over here, 50% are over here, and it's a mess. And this is far too vague. This is going to create more issues, and there are going to be more eyeballs on this from day one.
He's washed his hands of it.
Well, not if the Players Association comes.
The Players Association will come back and say, "You lied to us. This is not the agreement. We had all these conversations. You said we're going to be in this together, but we're not. You made it. No. We're telling you, here's the rule. We're actually giving you the choice.
We have language in our policy, standing at attention, with hats off, and focused.
And the other thing is that the team can't do anything about it. The team, like your ownership, can't say, "Hey, you know what? You get your ass out there. You got to go out there." Okay. Or no. They're saying, "Listen, you can say it if you want." But I'll tell you what, the best case scenario, this is what it looks like. Everybody will be on the same page. You'll have a couple teams where a couple guys, regardless of what the team wants, because this will be just like voting for captains. This is what it'll be like. You vote for captains before the year starts, and then you go, "All right, anthem, we're all coming out, right? We're not going to be this team where five guys stay in and 40 guys. We're not doing that. We're unified. We're starting now." Okay, so let's have this discussion here. I think you'll see less teams, more teams will come out as a group and do the right thing or do what they think is the right thing, show some sort of unity as opposed to 10 guys staying in. How bad is that going to look when you have 30 guys staying in and 20 guys coming out?
Suppose,
are you kidding me?
Suppose something happens, guys. Suppose we have an incident out there that happens. Who knows? Bad cop does something. We've seen this the situation before. And that Sunday, they're playing a game. And a team together in that locker room decides, guys, this is abuse by a law enforcement officer. None of us should go out there. That's not going to be a big story if nobody shows up for the anthem on that given Sunday, because that's how these things start. These things start where we have something happen
something
in society,
yes.
And people, the players react to it. And it's interesting that the NBA, we don't have this. So we have a policy in place. The policy, by the way, has got nothing to do with Adam Silver, even though he's the greatest commissioner in the history of
mankind. But they'll have shirts, t-shirts, man.
But it was a David Stern rule years ago that we're going to respect the anthem. But they also allowed the players to speak openly. They gave them the platform to speak, and yet we're dealing with a similar set of circumstances. Matter of fact, we may have a higher percentage of African-American players in the NBA than we do in the National Football League, and yet the NBA is not taking any heat here. The players are getting to express. LeBron James is out there on the campaign trail for Hillary Clinton in the last election. They're out there speaking their mind. They're wearing the shirts. They're doing all of these things. And yet none of this is happening to them. They're not getting the backlash. They're not getting the loss of television ratings. Their television ratings are soaring. The NFL is screwing this all up. It's them. They don't know how to deal with it, and they don't know how to deal with the Players Association.
Well, I think the other thing is that you just kind of, you know, you got to be that old guy sitting on his porch just, you know, looking at all the young whippersnappers drive up and down.
Lawn.
I mean, really, this is just the way it is now. Like, nobody's going backwards. This is the way it is. So I don't think you're never going to please everybody. So that situation you talked about, that will happen.
No question.
October, November, whatever. Now you're saying it's like there's no hard and fast rule. So if we want to make a statement, the whole year we've been coming out as a team. You know, now we decide, no, we're all staying in. Why? The other thing is, okay, so what are the networks going to do? Have the networks decided we're not showing it? Period. So it doesn't even matter. So that's another way of controlling the narrative.
Yeah, but if you're
not even going to show the national anthem, which they don't need to anyways. Coin toss, done.
But if you're the network, and you have a controversy right now, don't you want to show it? Because
no, you don't.
The public may want to see how many guys are out there doing it.
No,
and whether
it's
guys
different
are
now.
Gonna, really?
Think about how the game's going to start, Glenn. So it's how it has been started. In the past, this past year, you've had whoever the commentator was, or was the lead analyst, or whoever was the play-by-play guy would say, all right, they had two guys kneel. Some crews didn't do anything, didn't mention it at all. Now you're just going to sit there hard and fast through because the networks in the NFL, they're all in play together. All right, guys, listen. Hey, Fox. Hey, ESPN. Hey, CBS. We did this and this and this. You can even help us out even more. Don't even show it. Start the game. Have some little, you know, three keys to the game right beforehand. Go right to the kickoff, and there we go.
So what the NFL is doing in all of this is they're kind of forcing it down the Players Association throat, and they're basically putting money. Right? Putting money towards social issues. That's what they're doing. They're giving millions and millions of dollars.
$90 million,
thinking that's going to be the solution. All right, we get to your reaction, your phone calls, new policy in the National Football League. Is it a good thing? Is it a smart thing? Or is the NFL just putting their foot right back into it again? And we'll continue with the Celtics on the table. Big, huge game tonight for these young players and for Al Horford, as the numbers tell us.
Once again, it's Glenn, Lou, and Christian. Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEI.
Who's the arbiter of respect for the flag? What would be considered disrespect for the flag and the anthem?
The general public has a very strong view of what respect for the flag is in that moment. We have language in our policy, standing at attention, with hats off, and focused. And I think the general arbiter will be the clubs and the league.
He's wrong right there.
Focus.
He's wrong right there. No, he's wrong right there. We could go in this building right now. We could go down the hallway and Alex Reamer and ask Alex Reamer, what do you think respect is for the flag? And he thinks Colin Kaepernick is showing respect for the flag, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that think the commissioner's wrong when he sit there and
the American right.
Right. He's sitting there saying the general public knows it. No, it's not like knowing a porn when I see it. Some people view patriotism much different than the way other people do. What he's doing is he's trying to dictate a certain way that patriotism should be viewed. And I think in the end, he's going to create a bigger, more turmoil in all of this. Well, because if you're one of those people that you were describing earlier, Lou, that sit there and want to make their point, they're going to make their point, even if you're doing this, especially when it's not on their ass. You're not finding them. You're not suspending them. You're finding their team.
What's more vague than focus?
I'm focused.
Like, what is that? What does that mean?
I swear
standing
to God.
There, well, yeah. No, focus basically means like somebody's like, you know, really thinking deep and hard about the country and everything. You know what I mean? And what does that mean? Standing at attention, I get it. Focused. So not fooling around, not talking with your friends, not like, you know, I mean, what is that? Whatever. The fact is that the fact that you're allowing the fans to determine what that is and what. So if there's backlash from the fans because they're not respecting the flag, they being the players, you're going to have to make some sort of adjustment.
I just don't like.
I don't know.
I don't know what he's talking about.
He's not being focused.
I think it's ridiculous when he says, "You know, the general public have an idea."
Here's the thing: they did think it through, Glenn.
You need to define it.
Like, they did think it through.
What is the rule?
Well, no, there's
the general public has a very strong view of what respect for the flag is.
But what is your view? Because you're the arbiter.
Yes, he is.
You're the one that matters.
He told us.
General public doesn't matter what the general public views.
Didn't he tell us? Didn't
you're the one that's going to set the fine?
And I think the general arbiter will be the clubs and the league.
That's it. No, it's going to be...
Everybody is the arbiter.
Everybody's going to be voice
tell you what,
who's not an arbiter?
The key here is to muddy the waters as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Keep it as vague. Keep it as broad. Keep it as subjective. You do whatever you want to do. But the most important thing is somebody gets out of line. Somebody does what they're not supposed to do. Hey, I'm going to find Robert Kraft. X amount of dollars, and then he's going to have, if he's sick of getting fined, so the really good owner is going to say, you know what, hey guys, I'm going to take that fine every single time for you because I love you, and what you do and what you're doing is right.
So here's what's going to happen. You're going to have guys that, because you don't have to be out there for the national anthem if you don't believe that you can follow the rules that Roger is establishing to show don't come out there. We know that the media is going to want to talk to those two or three guys, and I hate to tell Roger, and maybe he's not paying attention as to the political persuasion of most of the media today. The media is going to side with those two or three brave souls who decided that they were going to show up the National Football League and show up society because they don't like some incident that happened in Austin, Texas, or somewhere else in the country, in Chicago or whatever. That's what's going to happen. I can almost predict that that's what's going to happen.
You're not even going to know it.
I think you're wrong.
By week six, because I don't think
the media will drive this.
I don't think that the networks are even going to show it. I don't think they're going to show it.
The media will drive the story.
I also believe that ESPN and the NFL, they were all get together and say, listen, you know, last year when you guys made that whole list of guys that weren't standing or the guys that were kneeling, we're not doing that anymore.
Christian, have you seen how sympathetic the members of the media have been to Colin Kaepernick or Eric Davis or any of these other guys? So do you suddenly believe that when a team gets fined, okay, or players don't go out there, that the media is not going to jump on this? It's become a politically charged society today. And there's a group over here and there's a group over here, to the right, to the left. And if you don't believe that the commissioner is opening up the door for more of this,
I also feel like there's also like an understory here, I guess, if that's even a word. I don't really know.
Understory?
Understory. Understory. Yeah, it's a story underneath.
Story.
There you go. That's better. Right. You know that there's a price to pay if you play Eric Reed's card. I'm not going to use Colin Kaepernick because it's different. You play Eric Reed's card, safety, young safety, doesn't have a job, couldn't get a job, and now he wants to sue the league also.
Oh, I think
so. So if you want to do that, that's fine. Okay, because you will be on a list, and they will, you know what? He's not worth it. Oh, collusion. No, you're just not worth it. We look at it the same way as we look at some guy who's beating his girlfriend, some guy who can't stay off the weed, some guy who, you know, is always getting arrested or has a bunch of DUIs or is dumb.
Christian, I understand that, and I agree with you in that what's happened to these other players will scare a lot of other players, especially the younger players. But what we're forgetting is every time we've had one of these incidents, it's because some event has happened out there. You know, a police officer, you know, has overstepped his bounds. Something has happened that creates it. And so it becomes emotional. It becomes politically charged. And that's when all of this logic that you're throwing out there, which I agree with, goes out the window. And that's what we got to deal with. Let's go to the phone calls. Let people talk about this. Spencer's up in Maine. Go, Spencer.
All right, guys. Well, just hear me out, Glenn, before you interrupt me. Just hear me because I got a good example of this is in the real world. So listen up. So I think the idea of Goodell passing to the teams is fantastic, and I'll tell you why. So all the teams got to do, since they're their own organization, implement a company policy. Now, I work for a very large corporate company up here in Maine. They instill some company policies that say, look, you got to be clean cut, you got to park it this way, you got to say this, you got to look like that, and if you don't wear this uniform or whatever, we're going to give you a written warning. If you do it again, you get fired.
So, Yankees.
For example,
yeah.
The Patriots.
Cut your hair.
Guess what? If you don't come out, don't say the national anthem, don't put your hand over your heart, we're going to get the fine, and then we're also going to fine you. And if you don't like it, that's okay. Like, that's fine, fine, fine. Then you need to find another team to play for, but this is a company policy. Take it or leave it. I think it's fantastic. And again, if the Cowboys don't want to do it, that's fine. But at the same time, every single team can do what they want, and then you just take it or leave it if you're the player, if you're going to be part of that organization.
Yeah, you know, again, I mentioned the
but
Yankees.
But it doesn't work.
It's understandable. Remember what Johnny Damon looked like here in Boston?
Yes.
With the hair and the beard. He went to New York. He cut it all off.
Corporate
you
America.
Want to play for the Yankees?
No.
You cut your hair off. We don't do facial hair.
So what's the difference? What's the difference? I don't want to sit there. I don't want to pay you. I don't want you on my team because you bring too much negative attention. Just say it then. What's wrong with an owner of a company if you owned a lemonade stand and everybody was yelling and screaming about Trump and this and that and your owner and then you finally said, listen, you can't do it anymore. There is no difference between a guy that does that for a lemonade stand, FedEx, UPS, or the NFL. You have a right to protect your business. And if some guy is drawing negative attention, which is hurting your bottom line, why can't you do anything about it?
Well, you can. But what he has to do is he has to have it as an overall policy like the NBA. The NBA's got it right. This is vague. What he's doing is not what the NBA is doing. I agree with you. I think the NBA has the right policy, and that is, guys, you can have social disagreement with social issues, and you can have issues with the government, and we're going to allow you, and they have the voice. All of those guys, many of them are celebrities in their own right. They have the platform to go and express, and they have done so. The highest profile players in that league, we all know where they stand politically. You may not agree with them, but you know where they stand politically. That's not what the NFL is doing. The NFL is leaving this extremely vague. They're allowing it here, there, and everywhere. Some teams, you can set your own policy. What? And then if you don't follow the policy, then the individual teams can be fined. And the NFL Players Association is coming out and saying, nope, the commissioner's lying. We were never involved in it. Well, you got to have the union involved in it. The NBA has the union involved in it. They're all part of the collective bargaining agreement. It's a rule of the league. You cannot do it. And guess what? Nobody defies it. Are you telling me that NBA players are not as politically charged as NFL players? That's ridiculous.
More so.
Absolutely. And as I said, if you're going to look at the gender breakdown, the racial breakdown, I would bet that the percentage is slightly higher of African-American players in the NBA than it is in the NFL. And we know that much of this falls along racial lines. The NFL's screwing this up. It's all vague. This is going to create more problems,
okay,
not less.
So the I know we're going to take a break real quick.
We are.
So the owners talked. Some of the owners that were there.
Good.
Art Rooney, Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cardinals. So they talked. So we should hear what they have to say when we come back.
Good. We'll do all of that. Final hour of OMF coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.